Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'd like to just begin with a theme verse from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verse 16, where Paul asks the question, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?" Now, I wouldn't blame you if you wanted to cancel me today for preaching about slavery. It's a great way to stop a conversation, isn't it? But in today's epistle, in Romans, it's very timely because it comes in between a newly established national holiday established back in 2021 June 19th, or Juneteenth Day, as it's called. And then afterwards, or coming quickly, is the 4th of July, which is coming up a week from Tuesday. So both days are celebrating a freedom from slavery. So it seemed appropriate to tackle this subject under this theme, "Who is yanking your chain?" As you will see, there is a slavery that still exists today and will always be for every one of us. And while many today think of themselves as free, nothing could be farther from the truth. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is talking about slavery. It was an established institution in his day. There is no evidence that Paul tried to reform it. One of his letters was even written to a slave owner named Philemon. And during one of his summer vacations in jail, Paul met a runaway slave named Onesimus. They got to talking, and Onesimus became a Christian. When the slave's sentence was up, Paul put a letter in his hand and sent him back to his owner, who was also a Christian. And Paul says, "Now you get him back, more than a slave, he's a brother." It was a nice thing to say, but the young man's still a slave. You also remember that Paul would give advice in his letters. Some of us don't particularly like all the things that Paul advises. Sometimes he gives advice to all the key figures in the household. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. And then slaves, obey your earthly leaders with fear and trembling. Well, Paul was a preacher. Even if he was so inclined, there was no way he could reform an institution like slavery, which was the economic backbone of the Roman Empire. Slavery sounds so strange and repulsive to us, but it was part of his life and his culture. So much so that he saw slavery as an image of the most important life-changing relationship of our lives. He signs his letter to the Romans with the words, "Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ." And as some of you may know, certain of the theologians among us, the word, Greek word doulos, can be translated slave or servant. Well, that's interesting, because a pastor one day was speaking as a guest at a congregation one Sunday when he was about to read the opening words from Paul's letter. And right before he reads the text, he realized there's a number of African Americans in the congregation. And he wasn't real sure how they were going to feel about slavery. And so in that moment, he changed the word so slightly. And he said, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." Because we know it can go either way. Well, afterward, one of those men that he noticed came up to him and said, "Pastor, I was following along in my Bible, and I noticed that you changed a word. Why did you change it?" And being the theologian that he was, and began to explain how you can translate either word, servant or slave, and all that. And the man listened with a great smile on his face. But then he said, you know, Paul calls himself a slave. And if you're going to belong to anybody, you ought to belong to Jesus. Yeah, he was a tough master, but he's more than fair. And next, he said, should be engraved on our hearts and our minds. He said, and if you belong to Jesus, nobody else can have a piece of you. Boy, don't forget that. He was right. Paul believes that he has a master. In fact, if you listen to his whole passage from Romans 6, it sounds like Paul believes that everybody has a master. Somebody owns us. Somebody owns you. That sounds really strange to those of us who are about to celebrate Independence Day on July the 4th, because we live in a land where freedom is always defined as independence. If you are free, it means you're independent. For 247 years, we've been independent from British rule, and that has become the governing metaphor for American life. I'm free. I'm my own person. I don't need anybody else. I'm an island to myself. That's what we teach our kids, isn't it? So that they become responsible adults, become independent. Well, there's a story I ran across some time ago about a brother and sister who liked to watch the Miss America pageant together. And the brother was explaining, well, we were watching the pageant for different reasons. You know, I was watching to hear all those meaningful speeches, right? Maybe not. But his sister points out to one of the candidates and said, watch that one. She's gonna win. Why? Asked her brother. Because she gave a really good speech about being her own person. Sure enough, she won. Our culture would love for us to believe that stuff. You are free to do whatever you want, to go wherever you wish, to buy whatever you desire. And meanwhile, there are a lot of people telling us what to do, where to go, what to buy. We think we're free, but what we're doing is merely accepting bondage to something or someone else. Do you remember when you were a stranger? I hate this part of my life. Hanging out with your crowd, trying to think for yourself and trying to fit in. And if I could talk to my teenage person today, he would value independence and freedom. But if you saw me then, I was just trying to fit in with some fashion. Longer hair, jeans, t-shirts, trying to look real cool. If iPhones had been around, I probably would have spent my last dollar to get one. You see, be your own person really meant to me, don't be a loner. Look like, think like, talk like the people with whom you are culturally in bondage. Paul is absolutely right. Even in a land of freedom and liberty, something or someone has shackled us in chains, whether we know it or not. And it's not just the teenagers that are shackled. The question is, who is yanking your chain? Some people are shackled to shopping. Can't pass up a sale, even if they have a house full of things they don't need. Can you identify? Some people are slaves to calories and cholesterol. They've never met a donut or a piece of bacon that they didn't like. Again, I have to sort of raise my hand. Some people are slaves to their jobs. They don't really like their jobs, but the company's paying them too much for them to quit. And so they go to work in golden handcuffs. Again, the question is, who or what is yanking your chain? Whom do you serve? More years ago than I want to remember, singer Bob Dylan went through a brief spiritual phase. Now, I'm not necessarily a Bob Dylan fan, but I think he hit one here. He had been a lifelong Jew, but he got real serious about God and even considered becoming a Christian. And so he wrote some new songs. He hired a backup group of gospel singers and went on tour. One song got a reaction I'm not sure he was expecting. It's called "You've Gotta Serve Somebody." I want you to listen to just the first verse among many. And so, Eric, go ahead and play that.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
As the song continues in his own poetic way, Dylan targets everyone: businessmen, rock stars, doctors, military personnel, police, construction workers, laborers of various sorts, clergy, landlords, politicians, people of every type. And he concludes with those convicting lines: well, it may be the devil and it may be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. On the night of this tour, he sang that song, and the crowd began to boo. The more he sang, the more they booed. He finally just stopped playing and left the stage. Afterwards, one of the concert goers said, "I didn't come here to hear that baloney. I'm free, man. I'm no slave to anybody, no one but myself." Well, don't believe that for a moment. For there's no greater slavery than serving yourself. Paul says he's a slave of Jesus, and he struggles with those urges just like everybody else. But he knows in his gut that no good can come from listening to himself or listening to his own desires or listening to others' opinions. If the only purpose for his life is to cover his tail and save his skin, he knew he was in a lot of trouble. The power of sin is so pervasive that it can take and twist our best impulses into something so foul. There are so many kinds of sin that work on us and bind us, and so it's hard to be set free from it all. So what can we do to break the chains of our own desires? It wasn't, just a couple weeks ago on this past Memorial Day weekend when we baptized a little child, little Bailey Leach. Her parents didn't do it because it's the fashionable thing to do. It's not a rite of passage. Today it's not even a culturally sanctioned event. Do you think we were announcing, "Here's a little one who from this day forth will be her own person"? No. We're saying God has one more little child. Before she even knows it, she belongs to God through Jesus Christ. And from this day forward, as parents in church, we will do everything we can to nurture her into that new identity as a beloved slave of Jesus Christ. And like any other child, we're going to give her something important to think about. We are going to tell her how much she is loved. We are going to teach her the story of Jesus, and which is now her story. And the day will certainly come, as it did for most of us, when she says, "Mom, do I have to go to church today?" And we can laugh at it because one time and another, we probably said the same thing. There are a lot of things in church that seem like forms of imprisonment. Do you agree? Two cousins in my former parish were leaders of the church, one acting as the president and the other working as the head elder. And yet they would just switch positions every few years, you know. So one would become the new head elder and the other one would come back and be the president. Sound familiar? A faithful parishioner once said, "Pastor, how long am I supposed to serve on this committee? It's been over 30 years. There are a lot of other things in church that seem like slavery. We come here and pray for forgiveness, and the pastor tells us we are forgiven. And then across the aisle, we see somebody we'd rather not ever spend any time with. And then later in the service, we pray, 'Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.' And we think, 'Oh no, I don't want to forgive him. I'm not going to forgive him.' But we've said those prayers, and we are bound to those words. And maybe we should spend a little more time thinking about the benefits that come with obeying our Lord Jesus and belonging to him. There are some things we learn through the church that feel like iron chains. We get to know somebody, and we discover that they're hurting. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to help. It would be a lot easier just to slip away and ignore them. But we can't do that because we're bound to each other in Christ. And in Christ, we are bound to help carry one another's burdens. You know, sometimes in the church, we've been called to do some things. And we've decided to do them, thanks be to God. Some time ago, we learned about villages in Africa where there was no clean water. We heard from a sister congregation that their church in California was completely destroyed by forest fires. We heard of a missionary doing work for a Haitian orphanage that was struggling. And then we sit back and we wonder how much money these things are going to cost, and what else in the church will need to be set aside for another day. But we know it's the right thing to do, and we're bound to do the work of justice. Here and everywhere, God gives us opportunity and resources. There are a lot of times when it would be easier to just do our own thing, to play it safe, to back away, to retreat in comfort. And then we come to church and we remember that we are slaves to Jesus. Not only that, he has physically and spiritually chained himself to us. We are never free from him. And the good news of that, of course, is that we are bound to him. And in him, there is great freedom. You know, if I had enough money, I thought I was going to buy some handcuffs and have y'all come really close and sit together and handcuff yourselves, each one to your left and one to your right, to show that you are bound to one another. Would you be uncomfortable? Yeah. Would there be a mass exit? Maybe. But our Lord's shackles are not physical. With his invisible but very real bondage, he has freed us from all the bondages of our flesh, our sins, the devil, the world, and especially death. Bound to Christ, we are dead to sin, and alive to Christ, and in Christ we are free. In Christ, we have freedom to love, freedom to forgive, freedom to give and sacrifice, freedom to help somebody in need, to comfort them in their sorrows, to lift them up when they're depressed, to encourage them when they've lost their hope. My friends, if slavery to Christ brings this kind of freedom, isn't it worth calling ourselves, as St. Paul, slaves of Jesus Christ? If so, let's wear those chains proudly and remember what the one African-American congregant said: if you belong to Jesus, nobody else has a piece of you. Be secure in Jesus. Amen.